together.
Everybody, Kate Delaney broadcasting from Washington, D.C. here on America Tonight. A couple of housekeeping things for everybody listening to the show. Don't worry, we finally have our four teams, you Kentucky folks, for March Madness, which would be our Nail the Score segment. And, of course, Nail the Score will come up later this week, Friday in the wee hours, third hour of the show. Chance to win a wireless GPS and $100 gift certificate for some awesome sausage and some books and all kinds of stuff. And we also have some gift certificates and other things that we're giving away as well. We're here in D.C. talking about the Supreme Court challenge, the healthcare debate. Here we go. After 2 years, what's ranged far and wide? Now, as it's been described, it hits a crescendo. I love that word, crescendo, with the U.S. Supreme Court opening the oral arguments. Easy for me to say. That's a lot of coffee. 6 hours of oral arguments, in fact, in the legal battle that will finally decide whether President Obama's health care overhaul is going to be preserved or is actually going to be dismantled. Right here on the show, starting things off, we are pleased to welcome Angela Bartels. Am I saying that right, Bartels?
It's Angela Bartels.
Bartels, I'm sorry.
Okay.
People call me, I'm Kate Delaney, right? People call me Delani, DeLuca, so.
Me too.
So you understand.
I understand.
So this is a historic day. I was just setting this up. The fact that we're going to have these 3 days, we think, of oral arguments, 6 hours, basically, the Supreme Court. The law celebrated its 2-year anniversary, and Angela, we should say, has been a nurse for 20 years, and I'm sure you have seen it all. You started in Seattle, Washington, in a clinic there, and you still work there one day a week to care for people with diabetes. Is that right?
That's correct.
So what have you seen in the 20 years that you've been treating people? What have you seen that disturbed you or bothered you about our healthcare system?
I think one of the first things was that when I started doing diabetes education about 12, 13 years ago, many of our patients were not able to control their diabetes well on oral medications. And it was very clear to me that they needed to start insulin. However, they were uninsured. Therefore, well, we could get the insulin through a patient assistance program through the pharmaceuticals. That is a very cumbersome process to get all of your patients on. However, I was willing to do it. The problem was the patients were not able to monitor their blood sugar. And it is completely irresponsible to put a patient on insulin therapy if that patient doesn't know where their blood sugar is, because they can have a low blood sugar reaction, which could be life-threatening. I went to every pharmaceutical company who makes a meter that I could find, and I would get a little assistance here, a little assistance there, but I could never get a commitment to provide on an ongoing basis meter and strips for our patients with diabetes. Finally, I had to start doing my own fundraising. So I had a fundraising event each year. I raised $10,000 yearly over about a 5-year period, and I found an affordable meter on the internet that our patients were able to pay $10 for the meter, and then they were able to pay. I bought test strips that cost $20 for a vial of 50, once again, on the internet. My $10,000 went towards purchasing these. Then the patients were asked to make a $10 copay on the meter, on the strips, test strips, if they were able to do so. And that's how I finally got my diabetes patients onto effective insulin therapy.
Wow, $10,000. You're like a teacher who didn't have, we can't pay for all the stuff in the classroom. So you just say, I'm just going to go out on my own because I can't take this anymore.
Exactly.
I see these people that are so sick. And that's what you saw, right? People that just desperately needed help,
well,
right?
I felt like I couldn't do my job. And if the patients did not get onto insulin, their health would continue to deteriorate. Once your health starts to deteriorate on diabetes, you can have blindness. You can have kidney failure. Your risk of heart attack and stroke increases by like 5 times. Pretty soon, patients are looking at health care costs in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. So that would eventually put them on Medicaid after they've spent down everything that they have.
How frustrating was it for you to watch this? Obviously pretty frustrating because of what you've done to counter
it. It was frustrating enough. I just said no more, and I started my fundraising. I got together with people in my clinic. They really supported me, and we managed to raise enough money each year to provide this testing equipment at an affordable price. It's something that we're very proud of, but on the other hand, it feels like I should have been spending my time educating people about diabetes and helping them with the challenges in their lives in taking control of their diabetes, not so much time on fundraising and figuring out how to get the proper monitoring equipment.
Why'd you come to Washington to talk about that, to share stories, that kind of thing?
I came to Washington because I am passionate about health care for all the citizens in this country. It shouldn't matter whether you have a job that provides health care insurance or whether you are able to pay for it out of pocket. That should not be the basis for whether or not you have health insurance. Every citizen in this nation should have health insurance. It has become a basic human right in our country. And that is why I'm here, and that is why I will not stop until we see this realized.
What do you hear from other of the rest of your colleagues? What do they say? Do they agree?
All my colleagues agree with me 100%. I had to ask for time off work to come here over these few days. And I have two employers, actually. I work in an outpatient HIV clinic in Seattle and the community clinic doing the diabetes education. And both of my employers were 100% supportive and allowed me to take the time to come and do this.
And you know, the flip side of this is the argument over the government's too far involved. They'll gunk it up. What do you say to that? No, because I've seen how it's gone for these decades.
The fact of the matter is that a lot of patients are having to access their health care through the emergency room. They're unable to pay that high emergency room bill. So guess who pays for it? In many instances, it is the government. It is either the government directly,
mm-hmm.
or it's coming out of our tax dollars, or we end up, as people who have jobs where our health care is provided as a benefit, we end up paying higher premiums, higher co-pays. All the costs of health care go up for everybody who's covered, as long as you have this huge population of people who are not covered.
Well said. And there are people that are looking at all angles of this, and certainly we know that these three, it couldn't be more divisive. We know that these 3 days are more than historic. That just is just a little slice of what we're talking about here. Angela, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight. Coming up next on the show, we're going to talk to Dr. Jane Orient. Has some very hard opinions as well. Stay with us. Heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth slide into a recession or, at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common-sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
We all know the importance of having storable foods, but what about when the food runs out? What then? For real food independence, you need a supply of non-hybrid seeds. Introducing the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. The Survival Seed Vault is sealed for freshness and includes 20 varieties of easy-to-grow non-hybrid seeds for only $37.95. For less than $40, you've got real food independence. And the Survival Seed Vault includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions. Imagine the barter power you'll have when the food supply does collapse. Right now, save $9 instantly when you buy 3 or more Survival Seed Vaults from MyPatriotSupply.com. Same-day shipping on all orders, plus free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness products at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
The Supreme Court case, of course, of being heard, the individual mandate and the constitutionality of it, broadcasting from Washington and talking about all sorts of aspects of what people don't realize about health care, things that are kicking in and whatnot. We're welcoming back to the show Dr. Jane Orient. She was with us before and was really terrific. Doc, thanks for coming back on.
My pleasure.
So as you see this date approach and you see what's happening and, of course, the challenge to the individual health mandate, from your perspective, what would happen if this completely kicks in? What are your feelings about that?
It will for sure drive the cost of insurance up tremendously for everybody. For one thing, we need to understand what the individual mandate means. It doesn't mean that you have to avoid being a free rider, that you have to buy some kind of medical insurance. It means that you have to buy the kind that the federal government specifies, with all kinds of mandates, that with a limitation on the deductible, with a guaranteed issue and community rating, which always and everywhere, every single time it is tried, raises premiums tremendously. So you're going to be forced into a type of insurance that economically is not desirable and that sensible people wouldn't buy.
Yeah, and why is this that people don't understand what's being put forth is, no, this way everybody is going to be covered, there's going to be these co-ops, these health-saving programs that the states will put out there, and you'll see that once it all kicks in, it's going to come down to something that's affordable. In fact, even as you know, the law was called the Affordable Health Care Act, and So it's so truly, it really wasn't flushed out. It's 800 pages of what are you giving to us that people don't realize. Am I right in that?
Well, I think that's right. I think that for most legislation, if you look at the title of the bill, its actual effect is going to be the opposite of this of the title they pick for it. I mean, who could be against affordable care? But that's
right.
Not what it does. It will raise up the cost. It will decrease the quality. It will drive physicians out of practice. It will make access to care much more problematic. And the only way it will make care affordable by some people is by forcing other people, namely taxpayers, to subsidize it.
So meaning that in the end, we're all going to have to end up paying more on top of it because it's not going to be adequate, and we'll see 10 years down the road, even sooner than that, that things are really coming apart at the seams, as you mentioned, and that's very scary to think. Some of the great doctors, family doctors especially, and you certainly have colleagues, and you're well aware of that, that a lot of doctors have said, I love what I do, but I'm not going to do this any longer, and they're starting to parachute out. You think this is going to become even more widespread, huh?
Oh, I think so, because it is, everyone admits that all of the new requirements, the compliance requirements in Obamacare, are very costly, and a lot of small practices simply cannot afford to comply with them. So they'll either become employees for the hospital or for some big group, in which case their productivity goes down, their concern about their patients goes down, or else they will just retire early. I mean, people can't afford to pay to work.
Yeah. And for people that get insurance through companies, that used to be the thing. Oh, well, I'll work for this company because one of the benefits is they've got great insurance and we'll be covered, so we're only paying for X amount of dollars. But in fact, and you would also be able to answer from this perspective, probably you'll see that more companies will dump out of it because, as you're talking about the cost, they won't be able to afford it. Is that pretty right to assume that?
Well, they are already bailing out, and a lot of plans that were supposedly grandfathered are just going out of existence so that the employer, nobody can buy them because they just don't exist. And it will probably turn out to be a lot cheaper for many employers to pay the penalties than to buy the insurance, or they'll be dumping their employees into these exchanges or into Medicaid. So we'll have more people covered, but they'll be covered by Medicaid, which is the worst possible type of coverage to have because it pays so little that it's really hard to find somebody who's able to take care of you.
Yeah, so I was going to say, explain Medicaid. People think, somebody just said the other day, oh, we should all be on Medicaid. But also, people have to get supplemental even for the Medicaid because it doesn't cover it enough. And then doctors are caught in the middle of that, so it's that same old thing. Were you stunned, if we wound the clock back to a couple of years ago, that this went through the way it did?
I don't think that I was stunned, but I guess in a sense it's shocking that Congress trampled on so many of its own rules to get this passed. I mean, and one of the reasons it's unconstitutional is because it violates what's called the presentment clause, which says that, both houses of Congress have to vote on exactly the same bill, and the president has to sign exactly the bill that was passed. You can't have it being amended while it's being signed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And so now here we are at this point with the Supreme Court. Your feelings, because, you hear a lot of the chitter chatter, and I'm asking everyone to handicap this. Certainly we don't know what the court's going to do. But what are you hoping that we see out of this, that boom, it's no way, toss this out, right?
I'm hoping that the court will find the whole thing unconstitutional, because once you take the individual mandate out, so many pieces fall apart, and there were so many interactions in the bill that depend upon the mandate being there. It cannot be financed without it. But I think one of the strategies was, well, we'll just get the ball rolling to implement it, and by the time it goes into effect in 2014, when people can see just how awful and expensive it is, it'll be too late, and we'll have millions or billions of dollars invested in all of these new boards and commissions.
Yeah. One of the things, Dr. Jane, that somebody else would tell me on who's looking at it through different eyes, they'd say, listen, this is great. It's going to award wellness. People are going to get healthier. We're going to be able to attack obesity. We're not going to have all these heart attacks. We're not going to have these problems with people getting cancer as much and all these things. But I say that how do you mandate wellness Wouldn't that be tough?
To say that's going to come about is just magical thinking. You can force people to spend money on programs to accomplish this, but really your health is your responsibility. The only way you're going to lose weight is to stop eating as much and exercise more. And, you know, spending federal government mandating somebody spend money on that is not going to make it happen. And it may save money in the long run. It may be beneficial for you, but it's going to cause a lot of spending in the short run, and we won't see anything for that except depriving people who are already sick and disabled of services that they need now.
Yeah. So what do you think becomes of these people? They fall into the black hole?
A lot of people are going to fall into the black hole.
Yeah, I agree with you. If you know, what would you like to see happen with healthcare? What do you think we need to do with healthcare to get a good system in place to rework maybe some things that aren't working?
I think we need to understand what the problem is, and the problem is basically third-party payment, that 85% or more of all medical bills are paid through some third party called an insurance company or the government, which increases the cost. Maybe it doubles or triples the cost. It makes everybody irresponsible. The people who are getting the service demand as much as they can. After all, they think they've paid for it in advance. The people providing the service provide as much as they can because, I mean, why not? They don't have to look the patient in the eye and explain to them why it is valuable. And there are all kinds of people who are doing the management who have their hands out and who are stripping off, oh, at least 15-20%, maybe more, off the top. It is likely that 40% of all the money that sinks into our medical system provides no medical care at all. No drugs, no wheelchairs, no doctor fees, no hospital days, nothing except for feeding the third parties and all the administrators that are involved in trying to collect.
Right, and so as you know, there's a big mafia when it comes to those administrators, so you can bet that it's in their best interest to see everything stay status quo with the Affordable Health Care Law, and they're going to be out in full force with the Supreme Court. Have you heard from any of your colleagues how they are trying to do whatever they can to raise awareness of what the true facts are of the health care law?
Well, we know about a lot of foundations and think tanks and groups of physicians are trying to inform the public of what's going on. But the administration is spending millions of our taxpayer dollars on a propaganda blitz trying to tell us how wonderful all these free things are without living with the people about how, you know, the government's bankrupt and can't afford them, and you're paying for them, and you're paying inflated costs for them. It's all like taking money out of the deep end of the swimming pool and dumping it into the shallow end and spilling some of it and think that somehow there's going to be more to go around.
Yeah, I agree with you, especially what you said about the third-party payment. That's really where we need to open our eyes and be vigilant about that. We'll see what happens with the Supreme Court, and I know you'll be watching, and certainly we're going to continue the coverage here on America Tonight. Dr. Jane Orion, thanks so much for coming on ATN.
Thank you.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for relief. What can MDS Forte do for you? MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps with weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte by calling 213-405-5355, 213-405-5355, or visit bestbloodsupport.com. That's bestbloodsupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarette's revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCIG.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Would it save you time to get the best quality water filters and the best quality storable foods from one company? You bet it would, and now you can at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Big Berkey Water Filter products and great-tasting, long-lasting, storable, wise foods are both now available on one website, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Wise foods, ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches and come with a 25-year shelf life. Big Berkey Water Filters are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. Combine Berkey Water Filters with Wise Foods for an unbeatable preparedness combination. Get free shipping on every order over $50. And GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, waterfilters.com. Or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-B-E-R-K-E-Y. Or go to BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com.
UtopiaSilver.com believes, as the Declaration of Independence states, that our rights come from God, not from government. The only lawful purpose of any government is to protect and secure the rights of the people, and no man or government has the authority to take what has been given to us by God. Among these rights are life, liberty, property, and the pursuit of happiness. And America's government has ceased to be the protector of liberty and of the people's God-given rights. But we, the people, can return America to greatness if we are willing to stand up and reassert our stolen rights. We ask that you join Utopia Silver in changing America's course in history. To save on health care and improve your health, call Utopia Silver at 888-213-4338. For a limited time, new customers will receive 50% off all colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338.
Can't wait to introduce you to our next guest. What a story she has to tell. You know, it's everybody's fear, the C word. There's even a show now with Laura Linney about cancer. And imagine the initial diagnosis. Imagine being told that you only have 3 months to live, and voila, 6 years later, you are still here. Denise DeSimone has lived that story, is telling everybody about her battle and how you can really draw from her courage and strength and spirituality, that journey back. And I think it's going to help a lot of people listening to America Tonight. She's got a book out called From Stage 4 to Center Stage. Denise, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Well, thank you for asking me. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Denise, take us back to that moment. You had, from what I understand, you had aggressive cancer in your throat and neck, and that's what they said. The doctor said to you, you have a handful of months to live. So what was your initial reaction? What did you do to push forward?
Well, you know, it's certainly a way to prioritize your life when someone tells you that, and you're in a bit of a fog, but just going back to it, it was 2005, in August of 2005, and I had ridden an 87-mile bicycle ride to raise money for cancer for children, and I didn't know I was as sick as I was, although I felt horrible. And so it was a few days after that ride that I went, after months of complaining about my neck hurting and a lump on my neck, and I had a biopsy, and there it was. A very aggressive squamous cell carcinoma, and I had a very short window of like maybe a week to 10 days to get into extensive treatment in order to see if I had a chance of staying alive. And so what happens when somebody tells you that, it's just, well, first of all, I think people say, oh, my gosh, the first thing is, what did I do wrong? You know, I was somebody that was eating well at the gym, doing yoga, riding my bike, and all of a sudden, this is just some kind of catastrophic. It might have even been a mistake. Somebody must have made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you run the gamut. You know, that in that moment they're talking to you, you're kind of transported into a tank of water. You see people's mouths moving, and you're thinking, I have no idea what you're saying because I can't even grasp this. And I know a lot of people can relate to that, but then you get back into, you know, the reality of what is next and choices you have to make. And the choices that you have to make at that point are, you know, A, am I going to endure what they're telling me is the worst treatment for any cancer, or am I going to let myself slip away and it's easier to just die? And that was what I was faced with.
And what would, and you obviously chose life, and look at you today. What I love this story. What do you attribute this your life to, that you've just risen above this diagnosis and defied what they threw at you as far as a clock?
Well, you know, there's a great question, and I'm so happy you love this story because it's a good story because it's a transformational story and it's a transformational book because I did not buy into the concept that our culture is so wedded to, which is we have to battle cancer. We have to battle drugs. We have to battle teenage drunk driving. We have to go fight in Iraq. You know, where there's a battle, there's a war. Yes?
Yeah.
So I decided, okay, let's think about this. Okay? Let me think about this. If less of me is angry, more of me is pretty healthy. I mean, I had stage 4 throat and neck. It was pretty nasty, but lots of cells in my body were not affected. The cells in my body, I didn't want to start fighting with them and get them more angry. You know, you don't fight with the schoolyard bully. You make friends with the schoolyard
right.
bully.
Right.
So I decided, and this is chapter 6 in my book, which is called PIN, P-I-N. I decided to name my cancer for pain in the neck. And I got deep into meditation, I got deep into my spirituality, and I asked the tough questions of my higher self, which I called PIN, and I would go into meditation, and I would ask questions, and I would write down what I heard. And I'll tell you, there is no way on God's good earth that I could have come up with those conscious things that I heard. Like, you know, when PIN said to me, stop beating yourself up for nothing. And I said, I'm not beating myself up for nothing. And Pim said, it doesn't feel that way in here. Okay?
We
beat ourselves up for nothing. Okay?
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I talk to thousands of people a month. We beat ourselves up for nothing. It's inherent in our nature as being human. We don't love ourselves. And so what I did, my approach was very different. My approach was, okay, I'm not battling you. I'm making friends with you. The other two things among many things that my cancer taught me was the more you love yourself, the less reason for me to be around. So how do you go from beating yourself up, thinking you're loving yourself? And, you know, I had done a lot of work spiritually before this happened. Thank God I had that foundation. But I did not love myself the way I do now, the way I know how true love, real true love for self, not conceit, not ego, but a deep respect and love for self where you don't beat yourself up, where you calm that voice that's always ruminating about the things that didn't work in the past and what's going to happen in the future, but that voice that brings you into the peaceful moment of now. That's the gift I got, and that's what I wrote the book about, and I swear to you, that's what saved my life.
And do you tell, I'm sure other people approach you about that, and you do you tell them the same thing, to just dig deep in a positive way and search that out and try to get rid of it? Because you know it's hard. It's very hard to do that. that's there's been lots of comedians have made a living off of this, the negative and the positive, you know, the little puppet on one shoulder and the other, the good puppet on the other shoulder, and it's very tough to do this, Denise. You know that.
Well, here's the deal. You don't ever reach the acme of self-love. We get to practice every day we wake up. So it's a process, and it isn't, you know, someone said to me once, what did you do? And my simple answer was, I didn't do anything. I undid a lot of things.
Mm.
So there's an undoing that's involved with this. And I think that, like I said, you don't go from A to Z, but you do take steps in trying to recognize when we are doing that mental gymnastics, beating ourselves up for nothing. Stop. Breathe. I mean, it's in the book. There's lessons. There's tools in the book. I talk about, you know, doing some work in the mirror where you look in the mirror. You say, I love you. You kiss yourself. You look into your eyes, the windows to your soul, in a way that you've never really spent time. Most people want to fix their hair, brush their teeth, make sure they don't have any mess on their face, and they're out the window, out the door, right?
Yes.
How about say it for 15 or 20 seconds? The chapter 7 is it's entitled Take a Good Look in the Mirror. And I was the whole book is very honest and very vulnerable, and I wrote verbatim what happened the first few times where I fell to the floor crying because it was so hard to really get to that depth. So it isn't unattainable, and it isn't something that just happens. You know, not all of us are Gandhi. But it is possible, and I don't tell people it's the only tool, but it's a tool in your tool bag that you need. You need good nutrition. Cancer patients need to stay away from sugar. It would help to stay away from certain kinds of foods that really don't vibrate at a frequency that's good for you. It's good to do radiation. I had to, unfortunately, do radiation, but then it's also good to seek alternatives. Mm. You know, cancer hates oxygen. I went into a hyperbaric chamber every week. Cancer hates heat. It can't live in oxygenated or a heated environment. I went into an infrared sauna every week. I still do sometimes. So on my website, there's DeniseDeSimone.com, there's lots of information. There's information about alternatives. I'm starting out of the proceeds for the book, go to my foundation, Alternative Cancer Therapies and Treatments, because I was fortunate. I had some money, and I had people who loved me, and I was able to do a plethora of healing modalities that are alternative that insurance doesn't pay for. And people call me all the time and say, you know, I want to do what you did. Well, I don't have the money. Well, let me figure this out, and we'll, you know, together we help each other, and so that's what I'm up to next.
Yeah, good for you for helping people that are reaching out to you and certainly really, really need that. And that's the idea. I mean, how did you come up with the name for your book? I know the first part, obviously, but the second part is singing, right? Because you sing.
Well, here's the deal. My doctors told me I would probably never sing again, and that was worse than telling me I can't eat or talk because I always sing. And so 22 months later, I sang the national anthem at Fenway Park before a Red Sox game in front of 35,000 people.
Incredible. Incredible. Yeah, and so your family and friends must just be ecstatic about what you've done, too, your work, your book, all that, right?
Yep, and I travel the country, and they love the book. The book, you know, I took my time, and I went away. I got away from where I lived, and I went, you know, 1,000 miles to a different town where I knew no one and wrote the book. Mm. And, my friends and family are loving it. And people who are reading the book just call me and tell me through email or telephone calls or Facebook how much the book has meant to them and how much the book has helped them transform their own way of. And it doesn't have to be cancer either. I mean, it could be a challenge with an emotional problem.
Yeah.
It could be a challenge with another disease.
Yeah.
But I think embracing it and looking at life and being gentle with ourselves.
Yeah.
We just, I don't know.
We're rough. Denise, we're rough. We're out of time, but I'm going to tell everyone, pick up the book From Stage 4 to Center Stage, Denise DeSimone. Keep on rocking, and thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, bye.
Did you know that thousands of industrial toxins, including aluminum, heavy metals like mercury and lead, and even nuclear radiation, have contaminated the air, food, and water supply and are lodged inside your body? These contaminants are poisoning your body from the inside out. No, the government doesn't care, nor will they save you. Do nothing, and these accumulated toxins may slowly lead to degenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, heart disease, or cancer. Take charge of your health before it's too late. Liquid Zeolite is the best natural all-round remedy to safely and effectively remove all kinds of toxins from your body. Use Liquid Zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com for fatigue, headaches, heavy metal poisoning, memory loss, and joint pain. Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee and is available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. 100% safe and amazing. Try Liquid Zeolite today.
What if pain could be reduced, ailments could be alleviated, physical and mental stress could be eased, and blood circulation increase, all by simply lying down? Introducing the original Biomat. The Biomat is an FDA-registered medical device that combines deep-penetrating infrared space-age technology and revitalizing negative ions with the incredible healing power of amethyst crystals. A Biomat can boost your immune system, relieve pain and stiffness, reduce stress and fatigue, and assist in detoxifying your body. Join the thousands of people reporting relief from chronic pain, fibromyalgia, arthritis, sports injuries, insomnia, and much more. Each Biomat comes with a lifetime trade-in and three-year warranty. Learn more at bio-mats.com, spelled bio-mats.com, or call 360-944-8692. That's 360-944-8692. Visit bio-mats.com today and enhance your life with a Biomat.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include micro plant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock, save you money, and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
America Tonight. Okay, we're finishing out this hour talking about health care and how it affects millions of us across the board, without a doubt. I've already said this number several times, but we're looking at 18% of our economy focused on health care. So the Supreme Court, are they going to continue for the rest of the couple days? What ultimately happens? You know, that's the first part of this. The big day is Tuesday, and we're talking about the portion of the law that would affect everybody, because it would basically, you would have to get health care. That's the name of the game, or you would be penalized by the IRS. So joining us now is Dr. Toni Lewis.
Yes.
Look at this title. She's the chair of the healthcare division of Service Employees Union. Actually, it's a very big job and a very very impressive place, to be honest. And certainly when we're talking about nurses and doctors and other healthcare people, you know, this is the other part of it that often gets left out of the discussion, which I don't understand. Because to me, let's talk to the healthcare professionals about it.
the problem? I mean, that's what we want to know. So, Doc, thanks so much for stopping by.
Thank you.
Keep calling it my corner of the world here in Washington,
my corner.
D.C.
It's quieter.
Thank you. It's a good corner. And I tell you, I'm so, it's an honor, actually, to represent those 1.1 million healthcare workers. So there's doctors, there's nurses, there's 500,000 in home care, 18,000 in nursing homes. I mean, just, you know, 84,000 nurses, and we have hospitals. You'll see tomorrow folks everywhere from, you know, just every spectrum of care. So our 1 million providers, like, you know, we see it, and we're in emergency rooms, so we see you when you come in and you haven't had care, and we see you in the ICU and actually when you have cancer and everything else. So we're glad to be here.
So what's your take on it? What's your take? First of all, just on the law in general.
Yes.
2 years ago, we wind the clock back. It gets passed.
Yes.
I think there's confusion about what
the law was we won.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What it was,
mm-hmm.
what people are going to get from it, what
sure.
they think they're not going to get. So from your perspective,
yeah.
clear that up.
No, absolutely. And it's funny. I was talking to my mom, Alexandra Lewis, who's a retired teacher, this last night. She's like, it's really nice to have something you can really grab onto, because 2 years ago, you know, we were excited, but it was like, you know, until you can really have something palpable. So something very specific. This fact that there are 2.5 million young folks between the ages of 18 and 25 that have been able to stay on their parents' insurance over these last 2 years just because of the Affordable Care Act, that's huge. And think about in this economy, how many folks have kids, have grandkids, you know, have folks that have just graduated high school that haven't been able to find a job, that are in college and can't afford care, that have asthma or diabetes. And it's the difference between being able to kind of get your feet solid, get healthy, and start your life for your family, or worry about how I'm going to get medication, you know. That's a very huge thing for families.
And you said about, I thought it was interesting, you said about the emergency room.
Yeah.
So you really do see all kinds. You see people that come in, they have no insurance, they
can't.
Yeah. And what's that like?
I'll tell you the worst stories, like, you know, I can remember. I trained, you know, both in Washington, D.C. and up in Queens, New York. And what really scared me was, you know, I would see parents a lot of the time who would come to the emergency room having had trouble breathing for years, but afraid to come because they knew if they came to the hospital, that meant there was something serious, and maybe they'd have to stay in the hospital and lose time from work, or maybe they'd have to have an operation, and that would cost them some money, like they put their health care off because they knew it was going to be expensive, and that would be the end of their family because they were the breadwinner. We saw people with diabetes that would come in with, like, these foot wounds that were just way beyond repair and at needing an amputation, you know, whereas if there would have been just the security of knowing I could go to the clinic and I had health insurance that was going to keep me well, they would be able to, you know, keep their job, take care of their family. And, I mean, this, you see this, like, every day, you know, folks being scared of what it's going to cost. And that's just, you know, to have to choose between your health and your bills and your family. I mean, no mother, no father, no person should have to make that choice.
So when you say that, it's interesting, too, because, we'll, you know, it's really split in this country. You know that. There's people that totally back
sure.
it, and there's people that totally say, are you kidding me? You should not mandate our health care. That's not right. It's
mm-hmm.
going to go up. I'm going to lose it. My company's not going to be able to pay the premium, all that sort
mm-hmm.
of stuff. What would you say to those people who are listening to the show, who have
mm-hmm.
heard lots of different opinions,
mm-hmm.
who, what would you say they maybe don't understand, from
mm-hmm.
your point of view, what they don't understand?
Mm-hmm. You know, I find that one thing that helps everyone understand is either when something happens to them or their family, or when they hear a story of what's going on. So one thing I'm really excited about over these next couple of days is so many people are going to be telling their personal story. You know, like, you know, I was diagnosed with cancer. And, you know, I was able to get these treatments, and then all of a sudden I met my cap, you know, of how much treatment I can get. Thanks to this law, there is no lifetime cap on how much care I can get. I didn't have an expiration date, so now I can keep living. You know, these types of things about, you know, go ahead.
Do you think people don't understand that cap?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, we've done a lot more to get folks educated, but there's more to do. I mean, this was unprecedented. It's an unprecedented event, and I like to say, you know, happy birthday to the Affordable Care Act. It's two. Not bad for a two-year-old. I mean, seriously, as laws go. So I would say go to healthreform.gov, go to SEIU.org to see stories of real people, and usually one will resonate with you, like as a mother, as a child, you know, that kind of thing. But that really helps.
And so these stories that you're talking about, is across the board. The other healthcare people that you represent have certainly have the same horror stories.
Either haven't seen, and it's funny, it does not matter. If you're a doctor or a nurse, that does not exempt you from having a pre-existing condition. You're still, you know, a person with a pre-existing condition trying to get insurance. You still have a child who has cancer and who has, you know, meets their limit and has to, you have to come up with money from your student loan. You know, there's, it's still, we're all human beings. So at SEIU Healthcare, we hit this argument as both the providers of care, kind of frontline people that see what's going on every day, but also as consumers, because, you know, a lot of times people talk about the, you know, 40 plus million uninsured.
Right.
But, you know, a lot of these stories are really hitting the folks who have really good insurance and just hit that cap, or they have a pre-existing condition and they move jobs and they're not covered anymore. The law really helps to provide justice for folks, like health justice, so that they can be covered, because we all, I mean, we all have bodies and we're getting older and more likely to access
don't
this
healthcare system.
Don't
you have a pill for that,
system.
Or we can just stay young and healthy, Doc?
You know, offline, we can talk about the Stay Healthy Pill. That's what I'll be talking about on Thursday, my official Stay Healthy Pill.
Yeah, there you go. That's what we have to do, all
you
of
know,
us. That's the problem.
I get it's complicated. I get it's hard. And right. I get, you know, hey, as we're balancing our budget, are you really telling me that I need to put something else on my bill? Well, look, I mean, it's your health. And unfortunately, it just all it will get to every single one of us. And what I love about the Affordable Care Act is it really focuses on prevention and wellness. You know, they say like an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. I mean, it's really so much cheaper for you to go to the clinic and have build a relationship with your doctor and really get into wellness and all these things. That's your pill. You know, than to have to spend time in the intensive care unit or getting surgeries or, you know, I mean, it's kind of, so when you have those in, since we're really talking about millions of people, it really would just make us stronger as a nation.
Yeah. Dr. Lewis, thanks so much. We appreciate you coming on America Tonight.
Thank you. Have a great day.
All right, so you've heard from a lot of people who think health care is vital, who the affordable health care is vital. And you've also heard from Dr. Amerling, who says this will cripple so much of our health care because you'll have good doctors that'll parachute out of the business, and you'll have premiums that'll go sky high, and you'll have companies that won't insure the people who work for them anymore, so they'll have to float out and get their own health care coverage, and will it really be affordable? This is a key question. Now, what's interesting is, will the Supreme Court actually decide to punt health care until 2015? If that happens, things will be different, because then somebody will ultimately be challenging the health care, you know, being taxed, so the individual mandate, and that changes the picture. If the mandate goes, it's unclear as to what will happen then when it's meted out. In other words, when the states get it. And certainly here on America Tonight, you know where I stand, and we've talked about this time and time again, the problem is with the affordability. The problem is what will happen to people when they're into the sea of the unknown, and ultimately how many doctors will say they cannot afford to continue to treat. To me, that's the scariest thing, navigating the healthcare system. It's sad and it's sorry, and without a doubt, to me, I think the real thing that needed to happen here was, number one, we had to erase those state lines, and we had to have more competition, and there had to be more oversight with insurance, frankly. That was part of it, and I think the third party is key to what ails us when it comes to health care coverage. But history will be made either way with this health reform at the Supreme Court, looking at the oral arguments through midweek. Wednesday they wrap things up, and certainly we'll be talking about it the rest of the week here on America Tonight. You'll get your chance in our next show to sound off on what you think it means, especially after the individual health mandate is talked about, if it is, in fact, the Supreme Court. Kate Delaney, America Tonight.